Welcome to the Friday edition of The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and a message on Daniel. The Encouraging Word. And of course, Daniel is telling the stories. He is teaching God's inspired living Word of God through the book of Daniel, but it's in particular about understanding prophecy on this particular message today with Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author, evangelist, and our pastor. And in these next few moments, we want you to know, as we study God's Word, we're available for you. We'd love to pray with you and for you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Jot it down, store it in your cell. We'd love to pray with you anytime, day or night, or connect keyboard to keyboard online at tewonline.org. And now today's message from Dr. Don Wilton. It's about understanding prophecy as we continue our study from the book of Daniel.
All right, a fifth person in this particular passage is in chapter 1 and verse 11, the God, G-U-A-R-D. Now, folks, he's very important. Do you know why? Because he is one of the pawns in this game of chess that's going on. He's one of the personalities here. There are a number of people lesser in authority and power, perhaps, and some of them nameless, but no less, less important. God uses people, and Satan uses people. Let there never be any mistaken notion about that. People are being used all the time in the game of life. Number 6, chapter 1 and verse 4, the other young men. I spoke about them as well. You can also go to verse 6. But the other young men, look at verse 4. He said, bring in some of the Israelites, young men, or the other young men. Among those were some from Judah. By the way, just a little pop quiz here. In the southern kingdom, there were 2 tribes out of the 10 tribes. Judah was one of them. Does anybody know what the other tribe was? That's it. Well done. Benjamin. The tribe of Benjamin. Do you remember the significance of Benjamin? Remember there were the 12 brothers? They didn't like, who didn't they like? Joseph, who had the multicolored coat. They sold him into slavery. Remember the role that Benjamin played in this. Well, these things all tie up in the master plan of God. But these were some of them that came from among the tribe of Judah. So you get the other young men in chapter 1 and verse 4, and then you get the young men in chapter 1 verses 13 and 15. So there are other men and young men the Bible talks about. So we've got 3 sets of nameless people. First of all, you've got the God. Then you've got the other young men, and then you've got the young men. And then, of course, there was one other person whose name is mentioned. Anybody know? Anyone like to tell us? Cyrus, in the very last verse, Cyrus. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. So we've got Cyrus. Here are our main characters that are presented to us in the first chapter. Now, there is one name that we haven't mentioned. Anyone like to tell us? God. Amazing how we miss God sometimes. How many of you just didn't think of God, right? Come on, put up your hand. I'm the same way. I just remembered it now. I thought I better put him in there. God. We didn't mention God. Sometimes we just leave out God, not because God is one of the characters, but because God is the character. Not because God is one of many, but because God is one. God, he's the central feature of chapter 1, the entire chapter. In fact, we're going to discover that he's the central feature of the whole prophecy of Daniel. God is going to be prominent everywhere. We are going to find God sitting on his royal throne. So, here's the question. What is chapter 1 all about? 5 things. Number 1, it's about covenant. Write that down. It's about covenant. Chapter 1 and verse 2. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. Now, we're not going to have time tonight, but next week we will definitely do this. I'm going to take you back next week, and I'm going to show you part of the significance of God's covenant with his children. Yes, we are going to go back into Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Now the Lord said to Abram, get thee up from thy kindred and from thy father's house, and go unto a land that I will show you, and I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you, and unto you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. God made a covenant with the line and the lineage of Abraham. Now, out of whose line did the Lord Jesus Christ come? From the line and the lineage of David, who was out of the line and the lineage of Abraham. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant, because it is out of him that all the nations of the earth will be blessed. What happened? Abraham had a son. His name was Isaac. You'll remember the story, how that God said to Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son. And here we have a wonderful picture of a type of Christ. The Abrahamic covenant, the Lamb, the one who was to be the Savior of the world. Not even Isaac could fulfill that function. Why? Because God provided the way. God so loved the world. See, there is a ram in the thicket. I am providing a way for you out of the line and the lineage of David. So the first thing we've got to talk about is covenant. We're not going to understand the prophecy of Daniel in the book of Revelation if we don't understand the significance of the covenant relationship between God and his people. Number two, we must understand the significance of sin. Folks, this is all about sin. When we read here in chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2 that Nebuchadnezzar came to Jerusalem and besieged it, and the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, and he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylon, put in the treasure house of his God with a small g. Why did all of this take place? It all has to do with sin. And so if we're going to understand sin in the light of biblical prophecy, we have got to go back to the origin of sin and to Adam and Eve. We've got to discover what this is all about. We've got to understand what the significance of this is. There's a third issue in chapter 1, and that's the issue of punishment. Chapter 1 and verse 1 again, that Nebuchadnezzar came into Jerusalem and he besieged it. We struggle with the issue of punishment, don't we? The reason we struggle with it is because we're willing to accept the fact that God is a God of covenant. We're willing to accept that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we're not willing to accept the fact that there are consequences for sin. That's something that we really struggle with. Folks, I was talking about soccer leagues a moment ago. And I'm standing here today, and I'm just picking on soccer, by the way. The same is true with baseball, basketball, and all other kinds of things. There are academic pressures upon our children. Tremendous academic pressures. Increasingly, our schools are announcing functions that run against the activities of the church. Folks, if your children and my children want to make the ball team, and if they want to get this academic scholarship, they've got to toe the line. It doesn't matter what's going on. Now, there's some that you cannot avoid. What have I got to do? I've got to balance these things up. And if we're going to understand them in the light of God's Word, we've got to understand covenant, and we've got to understand sin, and we've got to understand punishment. And there's a fourth thing, we've got to understand choice. God gives us a choice. Can you believe that? Now, folks, I struggle with this issue. Hold on a minute here. Just hold on. Help me through this. God is sovereign. God is in control. God knows everything. God created us from before the foundation of the world. But I've got a choice? Just hold on a minute here. I'm befuddled in my mind. the children of Israel, God's covenant with them. God says, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you, excepting for 70 years. These are great theological issues. These are the tough things, folks. Do you accept a promotion to another city because they offer you more money? Or do you elect to stay where you are because of your church and the spiritual food that you're receiving from godly friends that you are around? Is there something wrong with wanting to receive more money? I don't think so. So how do we decide what to do? Where do we go? How do we make these decisions? Prophecy, the book of Daniel, takes us and puts us into God's history, His story.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton here on The Encouraging Word, and he'll be back with more of this great Bible teaching in just a moment. But he insists I remind you we're available for you. And again, as we launch into the weekend, we have some weekend broadcasts, but many of you won't be connecting with us. Jot the number down and know that we'd love to pray with you and for you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at tewonline.org. That's TEW for The Encouraging Word, online.org. It's also a great place to sign up for our daily Encouraging Word email. It's absolutely free. You can have it in your inbox tomorrow if you sign up today, or if you want to, if you're on the go, just jot these numbers down, 30500, and when you can, text the word daily to us. When you text the word daily to 30500, we'll text you back a quick link, and by this time tomorrow, you'll be receiving that wonderful jumpstart to your quiet time, a moment of God's Word with Dr. Don Wilton every single day. Again, you can sign up online at tewonline.org or just text the word daily, that's one word, daily, to 30500. We'd love to put this wonderful launch into your email box every single day. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
You see, history is God's map for the plan of mankind. It's not our map for our own well-being. We don't make history. God does. It's His story. But there's a final thing about this chapter. Reward. Reward. Chapter 1 and verse 15. I've read it to you at the end of the 10 days. They looked healthy and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. Reward. This is the part. This is the good part. This somehow seems to make this far more palatable, don't you think? It gives me more of a sense of hope, direction. How can we understand prophecy? Isaiah 44, please go and read that on your own. Isaiah chapter 40. You're going to see the same unfolding, if you please. You're going to see and read about covenant. You're going to read about sin. You're going to read about judgment or punishment. You're going to read about the comfort that God gives according to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 1. And you're going to read about reward. Don't ever forget that in the New Testament that Jesus Christ says, as it was with Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Just think about it. God's people, God's word. They'd never seen rain before, but God says in order to believe Him, you don't have to see. He just says, believe me because I'm God, not because you can see. Oh, what's this man, this preacher, talking about raining and flooding? We don't even know what rain is. God says you don't have to see. You don't have to feel it. You don't even have to know it exists. It's there because I say so. That's why. Moses had the same problem. God, you want me to go to Pharaoh? What am I going to say to him? What can I give him to see? God said to him, you don't need to see anything. He doesn't need to see anything. He doesn't need to hold anything. Just tell him I am sent you. That'll fix him up. It's amazing, God's story, as it was in the days of Noah. And so it was that God took them two by two, march them up one aisle way. The Bible says there are two roads. One is a broad road that leads to destruction. There are many who find it, but there's a narrow way which leads to life. God took them two by two through Noah and marched them up one way through one door into one salvation and shut the door and said, "It is finished." And all the people who were on board were saved. But those who didn't walk through the door, they drowned. This is God's story. Prophecy? Is the Word of God connected? I think it is. And so I close by simply saying to you tonight, what does this tell us about the pathway from covenant to judgment? And number one, there is a cutting up of the Word of God. There is a cutting up of the Word of God that takes place. How do a people get from covenant and occupying of this special relationship with God to this horrible thing called judgment? What happens? What's the pathway from covenant to judgment? Number one, a cutting up of the Word of God will take place. You can read about it in Jeremiah chapter 36. Number two, a raising up of false prophets takes place. It's guaranteed. Chapter 1 and verse 1, God used false prophets. God takes people, evil people, and He uses them. May I say this out of all the love of my heart, folks? I pray that none of our people in this congregation are going to become susceptible to false prophets in Spartanburg. I will guarantee you this year and next year, there will again rise up within Spartanburg County and our community. There will be ministers. There will be men and women of the cloth who will rise up preaching and teaching a false gospel, a watered down gospel, a liberal gospel. They will cut up the Word of God. They will destroy the Word of God. They'll give themselves to social gospel preaching. They will eliminate all the things that God teaches us in the name of common sense and compromise. Compromise is the name of the game. The pathway from covenant to judgment. Folks, we are living in horrendous times. No matter what your persuasion might be, and not standing in judgment or anybody, the fact of the matter, in America today, there is a systematic cutting up of the Word of God through false prophets taking place, and people are flocking to them left and right. Our pulpits today are filled with silence. There is a destruction of sacred and holy. There is a destruction of sacred and holy. This is the pathway from covenant to judgment. What happened here? Nebuchadnezzar, the false prophets, infiltrated. There's a cutting up of the Word of God. Remember the tussle between Jehoiakim and the prophet Jeremiah. You need to read about that in Jeremiah chapter 36. It's all there. What happens? In the middle of this, there's a destruction of the sacred and holy. There's an infiltration of God's house. What did Nebuchadnezzar do? He attacked the house of God. He went into the temple. He took sacred things out of the temple. Number four, there is a compromise and confusion that takes place. How did he bring about compromise and confusion? It's quite simple. He took the sacred and holy things out of the temple. He put them in a bag. He carried them off to Babylon, and he put them associated with the false gods of the prophet of Baal and of Babylon. He associated them. He amalgamated them. He confused them. He compromised them so that over time they became to be seen as one in the same thing. You know what Satan wants more than anything? As he takes us in a journey from covenant to judgment, he wants to make sure that nobody can tell a difference between you as a believer and that person as a non-believer. And the more he can make us look alike and sound alike and behave alike and understand alike, the greater the victory of Satan. Do you know why? Because he's taken us on the pathway to compromise. He's taken the sacredness of the holiness of God, and he's put it alongside the decadence of the gods of Baal. Number five, there is a selection of people that takes place in the pathway from covenant to judgment. Oh, friends, there's so much to say here. I believe that as you go right throughout the story of God from Genesis to Revelation, you're going to discover that the downward spiral from covenant to judgment always involves the selection of people. I believe with all my heart that hovering outside these doors on Main Street is the evil presence of a Satan who would seek to cripple us. We need to be sober and to be vigilant. The devil is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And Satan is out there. He wants to pounce on some of us. He's going to select us, and he'll use whatever means it is. He's going to offer scholarships. He's going to offer us positions. He's going to offer us fame and fortune and raises. He's going to offer us fine houses, purple and fine linen. He's going to offer us the best that we can possibly have. And he's going to select us from among the people. And I'm going to tell you, he's not going to go to the worst. He's going to take the best. And he's going to elevate the best. And he's going to use the best. Why? Because he's got us on a pathway from covenant to judgment. But number six, there's an indoctrination that follows. Verse 4 and following in chapter 1, the indoctrination is unbelievable. These people were going to be taught the language and the literature of the Babylonians. They were to eat the food that came from the king's table. There was even a defilement of the laws of the Levites as they applied themselves to the life of a religious Jew. There was a defilement of the covenant relationship between God and his people. It was undertaken through systematic indoctrination. Basically, what was taking place is that Satan himself was coming and saying, listen, it's okay just to have one beer. It's not going to hurt you. That trot their way down Main Street, USA, with snow falling and jingle bells playing. And you know, after all we're going to tell you to do is know when to say when. Don't drink and drive. And if you're under 18, please make sure that you have your ID with you. It's okay. Just one will do. You need to be part of the party. Oh, it's a systematic indoctrination that takes place. But finally, but not conclusively, in the seventh instance, there's an amalgamation that takes place. You see, friends, the Bible says that what he wanted to do was to create a merging, an amalgamation. What did he attack? He tried to amalgamate their family-ness. He tried to eliminate a sense of belonging through the family. What did Nebuchadnezzar do? He attacked their lifestyle, the way they lived, their moral fiber, the principles upon which they were reared and upon which they stood. He tried to attack their origins, their roots, their grounding, their foundation, their covenant relationship with God. And Nebuchadnezzar said, I know what I can do. I'm going to take the finest of the fine, and I'm going to destroy their sense of family, destroy their sense of origin. I'm going to destroy their sense and their sense and sensibility. I'm going to make them one with us. And I'll tell you what, if I can make a Rhodes Scholar out of these four young men, and I can put them in a high place, who in the world is going to dare to argue with them? Because they come from among the people. Prophecy? Oh, prophecy is a lamp that lights our pathway. Prophecy? It's grand to study prophecy. Because when I study prophecy, I read things like verse 8, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the food, the royal food that came from the king's table. Daniel resolved, dare to be a Daniel.
Dare to be a Daniel. You know, there's such power in that phrase from our pastor, Dr. Don Wilton, here on The Encouraging Word. And as we launch a brand new decade together, there's power in knowing that we can't do it. But instead, as Doc said, Father, help us to love you more and more every day. Let's ask God to make us the Daniel and the Danielles that we need to be as men and women of God, pursuing a greater love for God and a greater love for others. Perhaps as you've been listening to Dr. Wilton today, you've heard more than just that wonderful South African brogue. You've heard the voice of God challenging you to a new beginning, a fresh start. If so, we'd love to pray you through the next step to be a part of your support team. You can call us right now at 866-899-WORD, and we would be thrilled to pray with you. That number again is 866-899-9673. Not just now during the broadcast, but 24 hours a day. It'll route to one of us, happy to talk and to listen and to pray and to help you connect with great resources that'll help you grow. You know, it's been a great week of studying Daniel, and we're just getting started. But right now, these next 60 seconds may be the most important of our broadcast today.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that you love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to you, and I invite you to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place so you can begin this wonderful journey. And in just a moment, I'm going to come back with a final word.
If you've made a decision for Christ, let us put some resources in your hand that'll help you grow. You can call us right now at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. You just need to know we're here for you. We're here to encourage you, and grateful that many of you are becoming encouragers. To encourage us through your prayer and your financial support, please know we are grateful.
Hello, my friends. I want to speak to you personally today from my heart to yours. I don't think there is ever a better or more important time for us to respond to our world by standing up for righteousness. Now, with this in mind, I would like to invite you to become an encourager ministry partner. You see, together we can impact lives both now and for all time and all eternity. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. And to know that you are standing with me financially enables me to move forward with confidence to do the work God has called me to do. So please call the number on your screen and just simply say, I want to become an encourager. Thank you so much for helping me.
The number again to call is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to connect with you as far as being an encourager or some resources, but most of all, just know we're ready to pray.